Sport and the Law on Breakfast with Bossy. For Bryden's Lawyers, we do commit, protect, succeed.
Yes, the man at the head of a great team at Bryden's Lawyers is Lee Hadjipantelis. I need to ask you straight away, Lee, should Rodney of Oyster Bay be calling 1-800-848-848? Does he have any legal case there to say that he was wrongly dismissed from the quiz, having given Melbourne Demons v Geelong an incorrect answer when he actually knew the right answer? Does he have any legal case?
Well, I think we have to take into account, Andrew, the fact that he would have been rattled being on the radio, for example. There have to be allowances given. The fact I think there may have been some sort of intimidation, of course, at the time, duress, undue influence. I think there are a number of factors that we can consider.
Oh, what? That's amazing. So you will defend Rodney. You'll take up the case for him.
I'll defend any SEN listener.
Right, okay. So he possibly had a case, nerves, duress, intimidation, all of these things. Thank you, Lee. Thanks for your support. Appreciate it.
You are welcome.
We need to talk vaccination. I feel as if this is like a weekly update, but things are changing. I mean, more huge news overnight. I mean, in America, the most litigious country in the world, a college football coach on a salary of over $3 million, sacked. Would not get vaccinated, sacked. That's part of the rule in Washington. You got Novak Djokovic taking his stance. Are we getting closer with every passing day to heading to the courts? Well, we've already been to the courts, haven't we, in this past week? And the government was sort of backed up on their stance. But in a sporting sense, are we headed to the courts?
Well, I think we are. And even closer to home, of course, there's a report of an Adelaide Crows player, an AFLW player, who has refused to vaccinate. And that's been in the news the last few days. What makes that case particularly interesting is that the player in question is a registered nurse who has experience working in ICU wards, who would be very much au fait with the effects of COVID. But with respect to Novak, I don't see any particular difficulty there. It is a condition precedent of the Victorian government that if you are a professional sports person and wish to engage in your vocation in that state, you must be vaccinated. He does not need to disclose whether he is vaccinated or not. He just needs to satisfy that condition precedent. And if he can't, he won't be playing. With respect to the college coach, the salary is obviously largely irrelevant. The issue will come down to one of vaccination or not. It's an issue. I think it's a challenge that will be faced by NRL clubs and all other professional sporting organisations moving forwards. But at the moment, as you correctly pointed out, we are in a state of flux. Things are moving rapidly and they're changing day by day, particularly with respect to the public health orders and the roadmap. And I think all of these professional sporting organisations at the moment are taking a watch and see posture, because the definition of various restrictions and limitations does change. For example, I was recently asked to advise in relation to NRL players and gymnasiums, particularly those who are unvaccinated. Now, the definition of a recreational facility indoor includes a gymnasium, but it also provides that it is used predominantly for indoor recreation. Now, NRL players do not use gymnasiums for recreational purposes. It is intrinsically part of their employment. So that might be an opportunity then to say, well, you are not restricted by that public health order. So, as I say, there is a lot of grey at the moment, and I think everyone's just sitting back to see where we land on this.
And not that something that happens in the States could be used at a benchmark in any possible court case here, but certainly among opinion and forming argument, this guy, Rolovich, the coach over there, he had actually applied for exemption on religious grounds, and even that was dismissed. So if that was going to be, you know, for want of a phrase, a card played by an athlete out here, will it hold any ground? Will a religious exemption hold any ground? What's your thoughts?
I think it's very difficult. What happens in America can be influential and persuasive in the Australian court system, but it's not necessarily binding. From my understanding, and very limited, is that there are no grounds that I'm aware of for the issuing of an exemption on religious grounds. I may be wrong on that, but I do recall that at the time when the COVID vaccine was being actively promoted, a lot of religious leaders did gather together and issue a public statement to say that they would not be issuing exemptions on any ground. So whether there are other religions, for example, that are prepared to consider exemptions, I do not know. But it would be then it becomes a battle of the church v. state as to whether the state itself will recognise a religious exemption and whether or not there is any legitimate basis for that exemption. So it's just not a matter of calling yourself a religion, for example, and saying, well, my religion refuses me to be vaccinated. There needs to be more than that, and there needs a lot more substantive argument put forward.
All righty. Now, there's lots of other issues I want to throw at you today. One is actually the, and it came about from listeners' inquiries yesterday and the day before, around the NRL TV rights, the free-to-air rights. And it was suggested in the story that the NRL may have certain demands. Now legally, does a sporting body have the right to ask of someone who's paying hundreds of millions of dollars for the rights, can they say, this is how you got to do things, or we want this, we want this? Isn't it just a matter of, no, this is how many games we've got?
No, it can go far more than that, actually, Andrew. A broadcast deal, like any other contract, is an arrangement between two parties. And the deal itself will stipulate in minute detail what the various obligations and responsibilities of each party are. That would include the number of games to be broadcast each week, other content required, promotional material, advertising, etc., etc. But I think what your listeners might be referring to is a report recently about promoting the game or talking up the game.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it becomes a little bit interesting, because that's not something that you can necessarily stipulate in a contract as to what a commentator will or will not say in terms of promoting the game, because you can imagine an underlying tension there between the necessity for a broadcaster to ensure that it is broadcasting and promoting the product, which is, you know, for which it's paid a lot of money. But on the other hand, commentators such as yourself are required or expected to be very objective and in their analysis and commentary on the game. So if there is something about the game, for example, that you do not like, people would expect you to express that view. So, but there is, though, either explicitly or implicitly, the spirit of the agreement, which would necessarily involve both parties in promoting either party's, both parties' interests in a commercial setting. But you can see where that that underlying tension may arise between what you're obligated to do and what you do in your role as a pundit or a commentator.
Yeah, well, you'd always hope that our broadcasters, and be it Fox League or Channel 9, there is editorial independence. You'd hope that you can still argue and debate the issues. After all, it is just football, Lee. You know, it's not life or death. I know we play like it is, but it is just football. It is basically an entertainment product that we're putting out there. And you know, I still go by any controversy is good controversy, maybe not right to the letter. But, I mean, when we are debating, you know, issues around rules and games and, you know, it's not such a bad thing, not such a bad thing. Can I bring you closer to home with the Tigers, Lee? And look, there may be some legal bent to this too. Just on Joey Leilua, who has been in the news, and just want clarification because he's leaving, taking a swipe at Madge, and he's also said he was never offered a contract at all. There was no train and trial. Are you able to shed any light on that part of the story?
Absolutely. When in doubt, go to the source. Joey is correct. There was no contract of any sort offered to Joey.
No. And the writing was on the wall for him. The moment that the squad, you know, had to be selected to go to Queensland, he was left out. Surely the penny had to drop with Joey. You're not a great influence on the team, mate. You've got to look at yourself as to what value. All your experience should be turned into a positive, not a negative, whereas all his experience is now, a lot of it's become baggage, sadly, for Joey.
Well, it's difficult for me to comment on that, Andrew, as you can appreciate. I know Joey particularly well, and I do like him as a human being. I think he's a lovely fellow and a lovely family man. But these are difficult decisions that are taken in the context of salary cap and list management, and decisions taken by our football committee and predominantly our head coach, and ones that we as a board support.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think we've had a call or text say we wish we kept Joey. So, you know, Joey needs to understand that. That's fans' opinion. Not that that should be the absolute barometer, but there hasn't been any support for Joey Leilua here. Just one last one. Really impressed with Jackson Hastings. We had him, it was exclusive for us yesterday, the first interview he'd done on Australian soil in quarantine. Boy, oh boy, has he matured as a person, Jackson Hastings, in his time in the Super League. He's going to be an asset for the Tigers on and off the field, I think.
I heard the interview, Andrew, and I agree 100% with your sentiments. Very impressive. How healthy is it for the West Tigers now to have such competition for spots? I haven't heard exactly where Jackson may land as a player within the NRL team, but I mean, I know that he's a utility player and can play 9 or 6 or 7. But it's just a great position to be in when you've got people of that quality available to you and put pressure on others. And pressure, of course, creates performances, and that's what we're looking for.
All right, Lee, always good to talk. I dare say a week from now, we might be even talking vaccinations. And you will field calls. Brighton's lawyers are taking calls on that topic. 1800 848 848 is the number. If people have queries around business and you know, their staff, customers, any confusion at all, they can call Brighton's lawyers.
Absolutely. We have been inundated with inquiries and we're happy to continue to receive them.
All right. Well, the number is, and that is certainly a burning issue across all spheres of society at the moment, vaccination issues, unvaccinated customers, unvaccinated work members, workforce, 1800 848 848, and you'll be in touch with one of the Brighton's lawyers team. Lee, thank you as always for coming on the program.
No, thank you, Andrew. It's been a pleasure.
Sport and the Law on Breakfast with Vossi. All thanks to Brighton's Lawyers. We do more for you because we care. Call us today on 1800 848 848.